We talked about those sins compared to the sin of gossiping, grumbling, whining, complaining, moaning and groaning. The Bible lists all these things. But we try and sometimes diminish ours by looking at it and saying, well, look at the adulterer, look at the murderer, you know, oh my, look at the thief. You know, but we're doing that going, oh my, look at the thief. Did you hear about him? I heard. And we do those things. We try and minimize our stuff. But as we talk about hurt, I want you guys to know that it's okay to hurt as Christians. The Bible tells us we're going to hurt. The Bible tells us we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through trials, tribulation. The world is going to come against us. You find a new believer, oftentimes they'll face some of their biggest trials as soon as they receive Christ. Man, I received Christ. I've been baptized. It's all been washed away. Uh-oh. There's the enemy knocking on the door. And the enemy says, uh-oh, I'm on the verge of losing somebody here. And so the enemy goes into overtime. The enemy works hard for that. See if any of these things pertain to you or people you know. And some of these are pretty big, and some of these are very real to some of you guys. Abusive husbands, abusive wives, abusive children, parents, both physically and emotionally abusive. Divorce, infidelity, pornography, premarital sex. And a lot of times we look at the teen and say, oh, premarital sex. If you're not married out there, I'm talking to you too. Alcohol abuse, drug abuse, depression, illness, disease, death, anger, bitterness. The one we don't think about a lot of times but causes a lot of hurt, loneliness. We can be in a family of 10, 12, 15 and feel very lonely. We can be in schools, walking down the hallway with hundreds and thousands of students and feel very lonely and very alone. We can be in retirement homes and retirement centers or be home with family around us. And we can feel very alone in those situations, even though there's people all around us. Rejection, neglect, poverty, money issues, hunger, separation, failure. What kind of failure? All kinds of failure. I didn't have enough strength or willpower. I have failed willpower. Failed marriages, failed relationships, failed education. Those relationships could be with your parents, with your children, with your brothers and sisters, relationships in the church, failed jobs, failed promotions, failed recoveries from illnesses, failed prayers. We think they're failed prayers, but they're not. But the awesome thing about Jesus Christ is He's got the power. We've been talking about the power He had. He's got the power. If we turn in our Bibles to, I was going to say page 1798 in case I lost my marker, John 16, verse 33. Or again, if your Bible is identical to mine, it's page 1798. In John 16, 33, I'll give you a minute to get there so you can read along with me, talks about the power to overcome. And a lot of times we miss and we don't understand that. But verse 33 simply says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And let's stop there for a minute. In my Bible, it's written in red. That means Jesus said that. So we know it's gospel. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Know that whatever you're going through, Jesus Christ has the ability and the power to give you peace. And a lot of times He's there offering it to you. You just aren't receiving it. You're looking the other way. He's knocking on the door and He's waving at the window saying, "Hey, here I am. Come over this side." But we're looking out that window of suffering and pain and defeat. In verse 33, "Knowing me that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Again, He tells us Himself we're going to face trials and tribulation. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And I want to tell you guys that when Jesus Christ overcame the world, He overcame it for us. So we have the power now to get beyond anything we're going through and overcome those same things through Jesus Christ. He has given us the power to overcome the world because He Himself has overcome the world. You may have had people all your life tell you you're not any good. You won't amount to anything. Maybe they said, you know, everything you do just is screwed up and you only do things halfway. So your life is just so-so. Maybe you've had your kids tell you, you're a horrible parent. You don't ever do anything. You don't ever give me anything. All my friends have a brand new vehicle. All my friends have brand new beds. They have their own phones. They have iPhones. They have cell phones. They have computers, for goodness sakes. My goodness, they've got DVD players in their house. Wasn't that long ago that we bought a VCR. Well, it's been several years, but I mean, you know, after everyone had them for half a century, we finally went out and got one. We were a little quicker to pick up on the DVD thing. You may have had teachers tell you, this work is horrible. You're not going to amount to anything. If you just put this type of effort, you're going to do that. But maybe you were fortunate enough to have somebody come up and say, hey, you're going to amount to something. I can see the effort you're putting forth. And you young people, you're going to be leaders. And you're going to amount to something. Maybe you were fortunate enough to... Where's my teacher? My teacher group is over here. Teachers, wave your hand for a minute. Okay, that's my teacher group. Teachers, you may have been fortunate enough to have teachers that said, hey, I know you're having a bad day. I don't know what it is. But maybe they invested in you and said, you can do this. I know it's difficult, but you can do this. And you had somebody help you overcome. You know, my wife said something the other day, and it was just a rough day at work. I don't even remember what she said, but I remember hanging up the phone thinking, by the way, I didn't tell her, so I'm telling you now, how much that meant to me, because it lifted me up. And she just, you know, she said, don't worry about it. You do great work. Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. And I wasn't in trouble that I know of at work. But it was just a rough day, and I thought, man, the bosses are... Oh, that's what it was. My bosses were all out flying around. Everyone was jumping in on surprise visits, and I thought, oh my goodness, I told her I'm just all worked up about this. She said, what are you worried about? And I hung up the phone and thought, what am I worried about? Okay? Sometimes those simple words, you never know what they do. A little praise report, speaking of simple words, and I'm glad you said amen a minute ago, Dennis, because that reminded me. I've got to tell that story. Our church donated some money when you guys went on your mission trip for Bibles. And I don't know what happened. I don't know the story about how and where that money went, but something happened here, there. Anyway, to make a long story short, you may not even be aware of that, but bottom line is the money went for Bibles. Some of you know Bill Walker and their family. They went to this church a few years back and went here for several years. And Bill Walker went to Haiti. He was there for 10 days. He came back 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Bill Walker got out on the last flight out of Haiti 30 minutes before they shut down the airport because of rioting and all the problems they were having in Haiti. And Bill called me yesterday. And Bill said, I just want to tell you something. We're in the middle of Haiti. They're in the middle of the jungle. You thought we were in a bad place in Guatemala? That's nothing. They're in the middle of a jungle, literally, and they constructed their own stage. And they're doing leadership for young leaders and pastors in Haiti. And he saw this guy's really neat-looking red Bible. And he walked up and says, do you mind if I see your Bible? And he picks up that Bible, and he's flipping through it, and it's a leader Bible, study Bible. And he flips to the front cover. And sometimes we never have any idea of the work we do. And the front cover said, donated by Prayer of Faith World Outreach. In the middle of Haiti. And I want to thank you guys for that. And I want to thank him, because that's awesome. When you can see that. You know, a lot of times as leaders, as teachers, as young people, we don't have any idea what our words mean, what our work means, what our tithe means, what our offering means. And I'm telling you, to get that report back, that money we donated actually went to a Bible, and Bill Walker, of all people, he used to go to this church that was in Haiti, in the middle of the jungle, opens up a Bible that says, donated by Prayer of Faith World Outreach. That is amazing. That's God at work. And he said, Adam, I could have looked at any one of those hundreds of thousands of people, there's thousands of students there, and leaders. I could have looked at anyone's Bible, and that red one just caught my eye, and I said, do you mind if I look at it? And that's fruit. We have to overcome our disbelief. Philip said today in the prayer meeting, I pray with expectation. I give with expectation. I expect something back because God's word promises. I don't do it saying, I'll give you this, God, if you give me that. But we give Because God tells us to give, and we expect something in return because His Word tells us we'll get that. So you may have been fortunate enough to have people help you overcome those things. But you may not have. But I'm here to tell you, there's one person in your life that came so you can overcome, and that's Jesus Christ. And He hung on the cross, and He died for you so that you can overcome those things through Him, through the power He has. He makes each and every one of us a conqueror. We think, man, I'm 13, 16, 17, 19, 20, 30, 40, 50, I'm 80. I can't conquer much at my age, young, middle, old. Jesus Christ came so that we can all be conquerors through Him. We can find victories. I was talking to my wife about this message, and I said, you know, well, here's what I'm thinking about. She said, well, where does hurt come from? And I thought, ooh, good question. Sometimes we're walking down the street, and the piano of hurt just lands on our head. It's just what happens. Where's the speakers? No, Rex installed them. They're not going anywhere. But sometimes that piano of hurt just lands on our head. It's just the way God planned it. And sometimes when we're out, I'll be careful not to attack the young people. I'll use Spencer. Excellent. He's back there. Sometimes when we're out doing fun stuff, wheelies on the motorcycle, jumping off roofs or whatever, jumping into the river from a million feet up as we went floating with no shoes on. And sometimes we may go looking for it. Not expectingly. I mean, I'm sure Spencer didn't jump in the river and expect there to be something sticking out to jam his foot and rip the flesh off as he hobbles around. I'm sure when he jumped off the roof, he thought he'd have a little softer landing. Okay. Sometimes we go looking for it. And sometimes we go looking for a little more purposefully. When we go to the computer and we click on pornography, we go looking for it. That didn't happen by accident. It has happened by accident. It has happened by accident, okay? And it can, and it does. But what I'm saying is when we intentionally go there, we go looking for it. When we are at work and we're flirting around with people, we go looking for it. We may think, oh, I'm just complimenting you. Oh, you all look very beautiful. Oh, that's very nice. You know, but if we're saying those things with our elevator eyes working up and down, taking the elevator up and down, we go looking for it. And we may say, oh, just don't they look nice, you know. And it's one thing to say, oh, you've got nice tights. Another thing to come up and, oh, nice tights. Ooh, that's nice. We go looking for those things. Last year at Acquire the Fire, they talked about going to the pig pen. And they said, man, that's where our sin, that's where our dirty stuff is. Stay out of the pig pen. You know, and it's kind of funny because last year said, stay out of the pig pen. This year was a fish out of water. And we keep jumping out of the water and we keep jumping out of church. This year's thing was, stay in. But the difference is, we're not staying in the pig pen. We're staying in the water. We're staying in the Word. We're staying in faith. We're jumping out of the dirt. We're jumping out of the hurt. We're jumping out of the yuck. So stay out of the pig pen and get back in the water. Get yourself all cleaned up. Sometimes, the other question Cindy asked was, well, what do we do with our hurt? Anybody ever question that? What do we do with our hurt? I'm a teenager. What do I do with that? I'm a parent. What do I do with that? I'm an older person. I'm at home alone. What do I do with my hurt? Pastor Jack sings a song, It Is Well. And he talks about bearing it no more. Anybody remember where they put it? It's nailed to the cross. That's where we put our hurt. It's the foot of the cross. And when we put it there, we need to leave it alone and quit going back and picking it back up and go, yeah, but look at this. Smack you in the face with that. I picked up my hurt again. Okay, I'm over it. I'm going to go throw it back at the foot of the cross. And it's like a dirty clothes pile. Hopefully we don't go back and pick that up and reuse it until it's clean. But we need to leave it at the cross. Hurt comes from all places. God allows us to go through hurt. God knows our heart. God wants to hear us call out in prayer to Him. He knows your heart hurts. He knows that. He just say, okay, Caleb, when are you going to call out to me? He knows you hurt. He's just saying, Donnie, when are you going to call out to me? I know you hurt. I know you're going through this. Each one of us, He knows the hurt we have in our life. And He's waiting on us to call out His name. Just like the psalm that we read said, oh Jesus, you know, hear my voice. There's a little story, it says there's little difference. It's not a story, I'm sorry, it's an article I read. It says there's little difference in ethical behavior between the churched and the unchurched. It's kind of frightening. There's little difference in the ethical behavior between the church and the unchurched. There's as much pilferage and dishonesty among the church as the unchurched. And I'm afraid that applies to pretty much across the board. Religion, per se, is not really life-changing. People cite it as important, for instance, in overcoming depression. But it doesn't have primacy in determining behavior. So religion can get them through things, but they don't take that on as a lifestyle. And they use it as an example. I got through this through my faith, but then they leave their faith and they walk away from it. I'm asking you guys, don't use religion as the bridge to overcome and then walk away from it once you get across the river. A second article from Patrick Morley in a book he has written called I Surrender. He says, a church's integrity problems is in the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives but not subtract the sin. It is a change in belief without a change in behavior. It is revival without reformation and without repentance. Again, we want to receive Christ and we know we're going to heaven, and so many of us get hurt by this. We receive Christ, we're going to heaven. I'm walking scot-free. Piano lands in my head, big deal. I'm going to heaven. What do I care? I dive head first off a diving board and into a pool with no water. Big deal. I'm going to heaven. And we're comfortable in that. We're comfortable in receiving Christ and not eliminating sin from our life. And when we have sin, that's where most hurt comes from. Not all hurt, but most hurt is going to come from the sinful things that we do or that we allow to come into our life and to penetrate our life. Jesus Christ made each and every one of us a child of the Most High God. We need to know that. We're His children. He picked each one of us. He picked us to be here. He picked us to go through our hurts. He picked us to go through our lives with our families. But I'm telling you, if you are hurting right now, He has bigger plans for you. And there may be a point in time, He's just waiting for you to overcome that. He's waiting for you to get the bridge over. He's waiting for you to call on Him and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, enough. One of our young people prayed not long ago. He said, man, I can't do it alone anymore. They tried to do it alone. I mean, we can't do it as older folks, let alone young people. But we think we have the power to get through this. I'm a smart man. I'm an educated man. Not me. I'm using this as an example. I'm a smart man. I'm an educated man. I'm well-to-do. I can get through this. Not without Jesus. And this young person finally had the smarts to say, and I don't mean that they were stupid. I just mean they finally had the wisdom to say, I can't do this alone. I need Jesus' help. And I need some strength to do this. But He has plans for all of us to become overcomers, to be successful, to be leaders, to come out of the pig pen, to get back in the water. And that's what He calls us to do. Get out of the pig pen, get that mud off us, jump back in the water and keep the mud off us. Eric mentioned last week about the altar, about prayers. Number one, clean up your prayer altar. If you want to overcome, if you want to get rid of hurt in your life, and it's going to come and go, but if you want to release it, clean up your prayer altar, number one. Number two, install spiritual strongholds. Number three, face your fear confidently. We need to face our fears. And sometimes our fear is overcoming. We want to make sure that we can get over that. But a lot of times we just think, every time I turn around and there's hurt in my life, I fear that. I fear closing my eyes for what will come. I fear waking up for what will come. Adam, I'm depressed and lonely every day. And Jesus Christ didn't want that. He says, you may be lonely in the world, but you'll never be lonely with me. Jesus Christ is there. He's the same place He always was. And He's going to be there tomorrow. And I told this young person that I was praying with, I said, you know, I may not be there for you someday. By accident, on purpose, whatever. I just may not be there. I may be somewhere else. But Jesus Christ is never going to leave you. Jesus Christ will never leave you. So when we walk away from each other and we're sitting there alone and you cry out in desperation for Jesus Christ, He's going to lift you up, raise you up and say, I've been waiting on you to call my name. I want you guys to know you're all overcomers. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in fear and sickness and illness and disease. You don't have to live in abusive situations. You don't have to be the abusers anymore. Adam, I've got a gift, but I'm too shy to use it. You don't have to live in fear, fear of rejection. Those things will come. You don't have to live in addiction. And if you know people that are living in those things, do all you can to get them here. And get them surrounded by people that love God. Get them surrounded by people that can be real and honest. And that's really why I wanted to do this message. It actually was a 4-week series on different things, what I like to call Christian reality. It's I hurt, I sin, I repent, and I rejoice. For right now, we're talking about I hurt. But through all that, we can still look at I sin, I repent, and I rejoice. My message today is short. It's simple. It simply says, as Christians, we hurt. I look out and I see hurt. When we play music, when we say a certain thing. When Eric talked about Cliff last week, I saw hurt in the congregation. Hurt for Cliff and Thelma and their family. And I saw that. We hurt for other people. I see the tears of hurt on the faces of God's children. And I want every single one of you to know that's okay. It doesn't mean defeat. We sing a song, the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold him down. And I want you guys to know that when we feel defeated, know that Jesus Christ will lift us up. He'll bring us out of that state. He'll give us a new beginning. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's one of our young people's motto for things they've been through. And I love that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. When you're in the middle of your hurt, know that Christ Jesus is there for you. Lean on one another. Lean on one another for help, for comfort. Pick someone and trust them. And talk to them. Look for people that hurt and walk up to them. Go sit with them. I saw somebody hurting one day and I simply got up and went and sat with them. Just have the boldness to look for people that hurt. Father God, today we just give You thanks for being in Your presence. God, we thank You for being the overcomer for us. God, we thank You for choosing us to be Your children, Your chosen people. God, today we ask You to touch us and let us know that it's okay to hurt. But God, we don't want to sit in that hurt. We don't want to stay in that hurt. We don't want to stay in the pain. God, we want to overcome. We want to become victors. We want to become overcomers. Success stories, leaders, examples to others that are hurting. God, today, touch us. Heal us. Bring us out of our depression. our addictions, our sin nature. God, touch us specifically in the areas in our life that cause our hurt and cause us to hurt other people. Selfishness, God, that hurts other people. Bring to light the specific situations in our life that hurt other people and that cause us to hurt. God, renew in us today the right spirit. Show yourself strong to us, God, so that we may overcome, we may believe, we may have faith. The faith that the thief had on the cross that allowed him into heaven in his last few moments. God, we ask these things in your Son's name. Today you may have hurt and fears, anger, all those things I mentioned, addictions. We want to give you an opportunity to pray for those things, to release those things. You can do it from your seat. You can do it by writing it down and just saying, God, I want to see this and I want to be able to cross this off my list. You can bring those things to the cross in the corner and put those things at the foot of the cross where they belong. And you can leave them there. And you can cut the chain. You can cut the rope at that cross. So that when you walk away, you don't have to drag that chain with you anymore. And that hurt and that fear. You start believing today that you can and will overcome the things that hurt you in your life. And know that God will strengthen you. You can't do this on your own. God will strengthen you. We're going to take a few minutes just to pray again. Allow you guys to pray. Again, you can pray at your seat. You can come up here and pray alone. You can grab someone and say, come pray with me. But God wants to hear you speak that prayer. He wants to hear it from your heart. He knows it. He wants to hear you call out on Him. Or you can simply go over to the cross and pray. But we're going to give you opportunity today to pray for your hurt and your life and acknowledge that. And know that it's okay to hurt in the church of Jesus Christ. And it's okay to be among His people and hurt and share those hurts with them. Let us pray.